Russia and China are accusing the United States of stoking a new arms race after the Americans test-launched a ground-based medium-range missile from an island in California. The missile was one of those previously banned under the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty between the US and Russia, which America pulled out of just a few weeks ago. Russia subsequently suspended its participation also. US-based security correspondent Sebastian Rublin of Forbes magazine has been telling me about the test launch and reaction to it.
I don't think it's too surprising, and in a sense the test is more about signaling than really demonstrating a capability that other countries would not have already guessed. They tested an existing sea-based missile, the Tomahawk cruise missile, and they launched it from a trailer on land using the same launch system normally used on Navy ships and also incorporated into a ground-based air defense system called Aegis Ashore. So, in fact, Russia, while both Russia and the United States were still in the treaty, Russia had accused the United States of violating the treaty by deploying Aegis Ashore, saying, well, look, if that can take air defense missiles, why can't it also take the cruise missiles like they do on the U.S. Navy ships? So 2 weeks after the treaty was departed by both countries, the United States demonstrated, look, we'll jump into this head first.
So if they're sending a message then with this test, with this launch, what is the message and who's it directed at?
Well, there are sort of two levels. The more obvious level is that the United States was upset that for years Russia had been somewhat covertly violating the treaty by deploying its own adaptation of a naval cruise missile onto a land-based truck launcher, which the stipulation of the treaty is you can't have missiles between the range of 300 miles and 3,400 miles on a land-based platform. Sea is all right, air is all right, but not on land. So that seems kind of arbitrary, but it was a means of removing up to 2,000 nuclear weapons during the late stage of the Cold War and saving billions of dollars. So it was somewhat easy for both Russia and then the United States to adapt the sea-based weapon to use. And so now on the more obvious level, this was a way of sort of rebuking Russia and said, well, now that you've broken the treaty, we're going to make the problems you accused us of causing come true. More realistically, though, I think many strategists in the U.S. were more concerned about using land-based missiles to potentially counter China, because China was never a member of the INF Treaty, and it has actually accumulated over 1,000 land-based ballistic missiles and many hundreds of cruise missiles. And so for some strategists, it's less about fighting a nuclear war and more the idea that maybe we could put such missiles on islands in the Pacific to try to counter China's own use of such weapons.
The point about these missiles is they're what's described as medium range, up to what, 5,000 or 6,000 miles. So in the past, the United States deployed them in Europe when Russia was seen and the Soviet Union was seen as a threat. Now, is that something America is likely to press for in the future, given the fact that it's left the treaty? It'll be looking to put missiles on European soil or indeed in other territories around the world.
Well, that is the logical implication of leaving the treaty, but I think that's a flaw with the decision to leave it, is that I felt that in my analysis, I think that Russia, which could just put such missiles on its own soil and threaten surrounding countries, was more constrained by the treaty than the United States. I think the United States may ask if countries will be willing to host medium-range missiles, but I think it will be politically very difficult until maybe just before when a crisis erupts. So I think that it will be not so easy for Washington to convince other countries to put missiles on their soil. Local populations obviously objected greatly. Recently, South Korea received air defense missiles from the United States, and that caused really intense protests from the South Koreans. And those are air defense missiles, not even offensive land attack missiles. So when I think of the United States supposedly leaving the INF Treaty, how would they convince the Japanese or South Korea to put missiles on their soil? I think it would be very difficult.
Right. Finally, the reaction of the Russians and of China, any indication of how they might be likely to respond?
I suspect the Russians might seek to hold a demonstration of their own, because they already possessed similar capabilities, and they could also very cheaply expand from there. And I think Putin's instinct is to sort of counterpunch against these kinds of things. I mean, not as in, like, violently necessarily, but by holding their own tests or demonstrations. China, I think it's going to contribute to rising tensions, but I think that those are more fundamentally occurring over tariffs imposed by the Trump administration and ongoing disputes over islands in the South China Sea.
And that was Sebastian Rublin speaking to us from New York before the program. The time, 24 minutes past 7.